Good morning. Today's daf in Shabbos Kuf Yud Zayin. Yesterday we just covered the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. Let's go over the Mishnah and let's begin with the Gemara. We are in the 16th parak of Masechta Shabbos. We are discussing various gzeiras that were made by the Chachamim, specific to what happens when a person's house, Rachman al Islan, is on fire on Shabbos. Putting out the fire is not an option. As we already mentioned at the beginning of the parak, if there is sakanas nefashos, somebody's life is in jeopardy, then it's a no-brainer. Then one puts out the fire. But if nobody's life is in jeopardy, and the only thing that the person stands to lose is his house, so then, as difficult as it is to watch the house burn, so the halacha is that you cannot put out the fire. The chachamim are sensitive to the idea that this is something which is difficult. And obviously we're going to want to salvage that which is in our house. And as a result of that, what the Chachamim did is they capped the number of things that could be taken out of the house. Later, this morning, we're going to be talking about the idea that the Chachamim capped the amount of food that could be taken out of the house. But right now we're still going back to the Kisvei HaKodesh. So one can go into the house and one is going to be salvaging the Kisvei HaKodesh. And the Mishnah in the beginning of the parak taught us that kol kisvei kodesh matzilin asom b'mneid, like anything that has the status of kisvei kodesh, so that there is no limit. As long as it has the status of kisvei kodesh, so you go into the house and you save the kisvei kodesh. Between the dapim of yesterday and the day before, so we have gone into the discussion of what exactly qualifies as kisvei kodesh. So that took us to the beginning of the parak. That was dapim kuf tes vav and kuf tes zayin. Then, yeah, and kuf tes zayin amud beis, which we did yesterday. So the Mishnah talks about, what about the mantle? The mantle that's on the Sefer Torah. So that could be taken out as well. Tefillin obviously fall into the category of Kisvei Kodesh. The tikshel tefillin, the bag of tefillin, could be taken out as well. And even if there's money inside, that could be taken out as well. And where do you take it to? So that's what the Mishnah mentioned at the end. And we're going to be discussing that later this morning. Let's start by going over the Mishnah again. We're on Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Beis with the Mishnah. Matzilin Tikha Sefer Ema Sefer. One is allowed to save the mantle, the cover of the Sefer together with the Sefer. V'tikha Tfilin Im HaTfilin. Also the Tfilin bag as well. V'afa Pishish Besochan Maus. And here the Mishnah gives us a Chiddush. And that is, there's money in the bag. And it doesn't matter. The money, of course, is Muksa. But because your intent over here is to salvage the Tfilin, and the Tfilin right now are in the money bag, so you take... Sorry. The tefillin right now are in the tefillin bag. So you take the tefillin bag out, despite the fact that it's got money inside of it, even though the money right now is muksa. And later this morning, we're going to be talking about the fact that the money, that the tefillin bag itself is a basis, l'davar ha'asr, l'davar ha'mutar. We'll go over that a little bit later on. Ulehecha matzilin asr, now where do you take it to? L'mavo yishen ha'mefulosh, v'mbesir omar af l'mefulosh. You can take it out to a mavui, and a debate amongst the Tanaim between the Tanakama and Rabbi Huda ben Beseira as to whether or not it's a mavui on mefulash or ain't a mefulash, and we will wait till we get to the Gemara to define these terms of mefulash and ain't a mefulash. Tana Rabbanan, we start now with the following. It is a braisa. Abra Sasha Chalios b'Shabbos. 14th of Nisan falls down on Shabbos. So we all know the schedule. That is, of course, Erev Pesach, and then there is a mitzvah in the Torah to shech the Karban Pesach on the afternoon. Now, it is Shabbos, but still, the date requires that we shech the Karban Pesach on the 14th. So, obviously, the shechting of the Karban Pesach is going to be overriding the Melech Shabbos. That we all understand. Now, you're not going to be eating it until Motzei Shabbos, because that's normally what happens with the Karban Pesach. It is shecht on the afternoon, the 14th, but then it's going to be roasted and consumed on the night of. Now, the roasting sometimes takes place earlier in the evening, but of course, being it's Shabbos, so the roasting is going to take place after Shabbos. Anyway, the discussion over here in this braisa is the following. What about the flaying of the Karban Pesach? That means to say that after you shech the Karban Pesach, so what you have to do is you have to remove the Imurim, because the Imurim must be given over to the Kohanim so they can be burnt on the Mizbeach. Now, the Imurim are various insides of the animal, so in order to get to the insides, the animal has to be flayed. Now, the flaying of the animal starts at the legs, meaning it's hung from its legs, and it starts at the legs, and you're basically pulling the skin down. And the question over here, and the debate over here is going to be the following: how much of it do I flay? And we'll see it inside in just a moment. But basically, do I flay just enough so that I can get to the Imurim, or can I continue and flay all the way? And the, tonight, debate this. Let's see it inside. Rabbi Shmuel's position is that you can be mafshited, but only up to the chest. Now again, if you just want to see it, if you want to visualize it, we're starting with the legs. We're basically pulling it down towards the head. Once you get to the chest, you have now flayed enough where you can get into the organs in order to remove the organs that are going to be burnt on the mizbeach. The Chachamim Omer Mafshit and Eskulo Chachamim say, no, you do Hefshit on the entire thing. Once you started, you can finish it. Now, Bishlam L'Rav Shmuel B'Nosha Rav Yochanan Ben Broka Daha Is Aved Leitzarach Gavoah. Now, the Gemara says, if I'm going to try to analyze the positions, I certainly understand Rav Shmuel's position, and it honestly, it makes sense. Because why am I flaying right now? The only reason why I'm flaying is to get to the Imurim. We're not going to be doing any further preparation of the animal until tonight. We're not roasting it until tonight. Now remember, flaying on Shabbos is an Isser D'Oraisa. Hafshata, being Mafshit, is one of the 39 Malachos. The allowance to do so is in order to get to the Imurim. And so, Rabbi Yishmael is of the position that only do enough so that you need to get to the Imurim. But don't go beyond that and don't continue flaying until after Shabbos is over, and now it is the Lel HaSeder, Motzei Shabbos. So the Gemara says, fine, I understand that position, El Rabban, my time, but what is the Shita of the Chachamim? You're flaying it all the way? Why should that be? What's the allowance? So Amar Rabba, Bar Barchana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Kral Kopala, Shem Lamaneu. So we know that when we're doing something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it has to be Lima'anehu. And what that means, says Rashi, Lichvodo. We have to honor Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it's just simply a lack of honor to start flaying and then just leave the animal half flayed and half not flayed. The Gemara wants to understand a little bit better. Okay, what is exactly the lack of kavod when you only flayed half the way? So Rav Yosef Amar Shalei Yasriach. Rav Yosef says that the concern is that you don't want it to start putrefying and become disgusting. Rashi over here writes Shalo Yasrich Shaor Mechamamo Umasricho, that whatever remaining hide is going to be on the animal is going to serve to insulate the animal, but at the same time, however, it's going to generate internal heat and it's going to go through a decomposition. Now, it's not going to be a long time because after Shabbos is over, you're going to continue flaying, but still, for those few hours between the Shechitas Karban Pesach and Motzei Shabbos, so there would be some decomposition. If you leave the hide on, Rav Amar Shlo Yehi Kachay Shemayim Mutalim Kinevela, and Rav says it is a perceptional issue, because if you leave the skin half on half off, it looks like a nevela, it looks like an animal that did not receive a proper shechita, it just simply looks in total disarray. That's how we would treat a nevela. That's not how we should treat a Karban Pesach. Now over here there are two explanations of. According to the Shitas Chachamim, where I have to flay it all the way, it is generated by the pasuk of Kol Pal Hashem L'Ma'anehu. The only issue becomes what exactly is the kavod over here, and a debate between Rav Yosef and Rava. My Benau, the Gemara wants to know what's the difference between the two positions. Now the Gemara says, no, there is a difference between them. Demanach a pitura de dahava. One difference between them is where it is placed on a golden table. Placed on a golden table, Rashi explains. At that point in time, it no longer looks like a nevela. You don't take a nevela and put it on a golden table. On the other hand, there's still a concern of being masriach of decomposition. Because again, the hide is still partially on the animal, preserving the heat inside, generating more heat inside. So that's one nafkamina. Inam yoma de istana. Or let's say it happens to be a particularly cool spring day. Well, obviously we're in the spring. It's the 14th day of Nisan, but it's a cool spring day. Rashi over here spends some time into exactly going through the forecast in terms of why it is such a cool day. It's based on the winds and the blowing of the winds. See Rashi for some more detail about this. But anyway, but it's a cool day. And as a result of that, so we don't have to worry about it decomposing because the weather is cool. And it's not going to, and the animal's not going to get overheated and start going through accelerated decomposition. On the other hand, if we're worried about what it looks like a nevelim. So again, another nafkamina between the two positions. Okay, so what we have done now is that we've gone over the various shitas of why I'm flaying the animal either halfway, Rabbi Shmuel shita, or I continue flaying all the way even though this Erev Pesach happens to fall out on a Shabbos. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, what is Rabbi Shmuel doing with the pasuk of Kol Pal Hashem? In other words, for him, he's only flaying it halfway, and it's a lack of kavod for the two reasons that we just explained. Well, Rabbi Shmuel doesn't take that into consideration. Shelo yotzias amurim kodem hashata, or my time, my avilei, sorry. Shelo yotzi es amurim kodem hashata sa'or. So Rabbi Shmuel says, what do you mean? Because of kol pal Hashem lamaneu, so I'm saying that there's an allowance to play halfway. Meaning, what could have been an alternative? The alternative would have been, is that what you could just do is you just simply cut open the belly and just simply pull out the imurim through the incision that you made. So, and my time, and the Gemara says, now why would Rabbi Shmuel not go with that line of thinking? Meaning it seems to be reasonable. So I'm Rav Huna, Bereid Rav Nasa, Mishum Neiman. Now the Gemara says you can't do that. Because when you're pulling it out through the incision that you made, so there is going to be still hide on the animal, and the hide still has a lot of the hair of the animal, right? It could be a sheep and its wool. It could be a goat and it could be goat's hair. Either way, you have a lot of hair over there. And when you pull out the imurim through an incision that you made, so what's going to end up happening is it's that it's going to catch some of the hair. And it's not respectful to put that on the mizbeach. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says, Kol Pal Hashem Lamaneu teaches me, I have to flay it halfway down. In order so that when I pull the imurim, it will be totally unobstructed and it will not be coming into contact with any of the hair of the animal. Okay, so far, all we did is we set ourselves up this morning. We went through the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon the Chachamim, when Erev Pesach falls down on Shabbos, and I have to be mafshid the animal. Do I go halfway, shitas Rabbi Shimon? Do I flay it all the way, shitas Chachamim? And we went over the back and forth in terms of the svaras of both positions. Okay, and the obvious question is, we're not learning Pesachim right now. We're learning Masechet Shabbos. We're talking about taking a tefillin bag out of the house on Shabbos. And the question becomes obvious. What does our discussion here in Shabbos have anything to do with the debate regarding Havshatas Karban Pesach? And here we begin. So the Gemara now is going to suggest that the two issues are in fact correlated. It's difficult to see the correlation at first. And even as we go through it, the Gemara itself, we will all see together, is going to be significantly challenged by seeing any kind of connection between these two issues. But let's begin as the Gemara now starts off. The Amar Rav Chisda. We are on Kuf Tezayin Amud Beis. We're about five lines down from the bottom, and we begin. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Ma'ufa, Mai Ahadru Lechaver L'Rabbi Shmuel Ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka. So what do the Chachamim say back to Rabbi Shmuel? The Chachamim who give an allowance to go ahead and flay the animal in its entirety, so do they have a response for Rabbi Yishmael? So, Hachi Ka'amri Lei. So this is the argument of the Chachamim. Im Asil and Tika Sefer Masefer Lo Nashir Es HaPesach Me Oro. So look, let's go to Masechta Shabbos. Let's go to 16th Perek. Now we happen to be there already, but we're starting from the perspective of the Machlokes Chachamim Rabbi Yishmael regarding Hefshet Karban Pesach. So let's go to Masechta Shabbos. What do we learn over there? Well, there's a Mishnah Masechta Shabbos that says that one is allowed to salvage the tefillin bag with the tefillin, even though the tefillin bag's got money inside. So if you can do that, so for sure you could be mafshit the Karban Pesach in its entirety. You could flay the animal from legs all the way to the head. Now, upon thinking about it, the obvious question: how do these two issues have any connection one whatsoever, one to the other? Midam, the Gemara asks exactly this question. Hasam Toto Hacham Alacha. By Shabbos, what issue are we grappling with? The issue of muksa. The coins, the money is muksa. So we're dealing with a muksa consideration. So fine, so we're going to be makel, and we're going to allow Toto HaMuksa because you're saving the tefillin. And if you were to take the time to have to remove the money from the money bag, or if you're not allowed to move it because of the money, so you're going to be losing your tefillin? Okay, but that's a muksa consideration. Over there, by the Karban Pesach, we're talking about the Isser D'Oraisa of being mafshit, slaying an animal on Shabbos and Nisa Daraisa. And yes, there is an allowance to do so in order to remove the Imurim. But how much? Rabbi Shmuel says halfway, the Chachamim say the full way. But the issue on hand is the Malacha Daraisa of Hafshata. So how in the world are these two issues compared and comparable? So the Gemara says, okay, so that can't be it. So Amar Rav Ashi Betarti Pligi. So Rav Ashi says the truth of the matter is that there are two debates going on over there when it comes to the Karban Pesach on Shabbos. Pligi betoto, pligi b'malacha. They're arguing by toto and arguing by malacha. V'hachi ka'amri lei. And this is now what the Chachamim are saying to Rabbi Shmuel. Ima tel teka sefer, ima sefer, lo nitaltel or agav basar. So look, you're allowed to take the tefillin bag that has money in it and it has tefillin in it. So if that's allowed, meaning so that the tiltol muksa, the moving of muksa, is allowed on Shabbos, so lo nitaltel or agav basar. Now, it happens to be that the hide is muksa. I understand that. And Rashi notes over here that we're, of course, assuming that the hide is muksa, even though earlier in the Masechta, you go all the way back to the third perek, and we spoke about how hides are not necessarily muksa. Rashi makes a distinction between the Gemaras. You can see Rashi right here. Dibra Amaskal Batarti Pligi, where he raises that. But we're assuming right now, let's just be clear about the Gemara here. We're assuming that the hide itself is muksa. And so if I'm allowed to move the tefillin bag with money in it, which is tiltol muksa, so then I can move the hides as well, and that should be fine because there is no tiltol muksa. So again, the Gemara says, that's really a strange comparison between these two issues. Even if we're just going to isolate the muksa issue in both cases, it's not the same muksa issue. Midami, as we are now on the top of Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says it's not comparable. Hasam nasi basas l'davar ha-mutar, hacha nasi basas l'davar ha-asar. Let's start with the case of the tefillin bag. Yes, there's money in the tefillin bag, but there's also tefillin in the tefillin bag as well. So this tefillin bag now is going to be a basis. It's going to be supporting and holding both muksa and non-muksa items. The muksa item is the money. The non-muksa item is the tefillin. So it's a basas l'davar ha-mutar and davar ha'asar. And meanwhile, in the case of the flaying of the hide of an animal on Shabbos, so the hide is muksa, but so is the animal. Now this is Rashi's explanation. I'm presenting the Gemara like Rashi. Admittedly, not everyone is in agreement with Rashi, and Tosfos over here being one of them, but I'm just presenting the Gemara like Rashi. In that when I'm taking the hide off the animal, so not only is the hide muksa, but the animal itself is also muksa, because consider, says Rashi, that right now, obviously, the plan is to eat the Karban Pesach, but not now. It's Shabbos, it's Shabbos afternoon. We're only eating the Karban Pesach tonight. We can't roast it until tonight. And so, therefore, the Karban Pesach itself is muksa. So, how can I compare the case of the tefillin bag, where it's a basas l'davar ha-mutar, and meanwhile, the hide of the animal, where not only is the hide going to be muksa, but the animal itself on Shabbos is also going to be muksa. So the two are not comparable. So Elahachi Kamrilei. Im Atzilin Tikshal Sefer. This is now round three of trying to understand the comparison. Elahachi Kamrilei. Im Atzilin Tikshal Sefer. Im Asefer. Va'afa Pishesh Pesochem Ma'os. Lo Nitato Or Agav Basar. So the Gemara says, okay, but so here now, we're just going to be adjusting it a little bit more in terms of understanding, refining the argument. Look, in the case of the tefillin bag, so let's focus on the fact that there's money inside. So there is money inside, so I'm moving the tefillin bag despite the fact that there's money inside. Now, in a moment, we're also going to be aware of the fact that there's tefillin inside as well. But there's money inside, and yet I'm allowed to move the tefillin bag. So can't I move the hide, even though what's inside the hide? The meat of the animal, even if you want to assume that the animal is muksa. The Gemara says, again, what a strange comparison. Midami. Hasam nasis basal ledavra aser u ledavra hamutar. Hachakula nasis basal ledavra aser. The Gemara says, okay, we're certainly closer in comparison, but it's still not there yet. In the case of the tefillin and the tefillin bag, you have two items in the tefillin bag. You have a davra hamutar and davra aser. The tefillin bag is a basis for both. On the other hand, when it comes to the Pesach, on Shabbos, as I'm flaying the animal, the hide is muksa, the animal itself is muksa, it is only a basas l'davar ha'asar. So it is a closer comparison, but it's still not comparable. Elahachi kamrilei. So the Gemara says, okay, here's now going to be our fourth attempt of understanding the connection. Now, it's so funny. The Gemara is really working hard to try to understand the argument. If you look at the Braisa, this is just a general point. If you look back at the Braisa, you will not see that the Chachamim actually made this argument. Meaning the Gemara is struggling and really, really straining to defend an argument where in the Braisa we didn't actually see the argument. It is only what the Gemara is convinced is what the Chachamim said back to Rabbi Yishmael. And so, but obviously, I'm making just a general point over here, the Gemara had some Misora that this was part of the argument. Otherwise, the Gemara would not be struggling so much in terms of trying to understand and refine what this argument is. Elahachi kamer lei, so the Gemara now is going in round four of the argument. Imivi in tikshish pasocha maz me'alma lahatzol bo sefer Torah, lo nitalto or agav basar. So the Gemara says, well, let's say the following. Let's say that the house is burning, and right now there's tefillin in the house, but it's only tefillin. There's no bag. And what I want to do now is I want to save the tefillin, but I really want to put it in a bag. And what I have right now is I do have a bag, but it's got money inside of it. So can we not make the following argument? On Shabbos, what you could do is you could pick up the bag. Where the only thing it has in it right now is money. And I could run it over to the tefillin in order to put the tefillin in the bag in order to salvage the tefillin from the fire. Now, if that's all true, that was a lot of assumptions. But if that's all true, so now what we seem to have is a great comparison between the case of the tefillin and the tefillin bag and our case over here. Because at the point where you picked up the bag, the only thing inside of it was money. It is now a basis ladavar ha'aser, and you're allowed to move it. Just like the case of the Karban Pesach, where the hide is a basis ladavar ha'aser, and so therefore, what the Chachamim now are arguing is just like I'm allowed to move the tefillin bag, so too I'm also allowed to take off the entire hide. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. V'higufa manalan. Now it's a wonderful argument, but it started with a lot of assumptions. You think that if the tefillin are not currently in the bag, I'm allowed to take a bag with money, and the only thing that it has inside of it is money, and you're telling me that I'm allowed to move it in order to salvage the tefillin? So, So the Gemara says, I know you're starting with an assumption. Well, if there's money inside already, and the tefillin's there already, and I'm allowed to move it, So the Gemara says, so I'm arguing now that I'm allowed to move it if all it has right now is just money by itself. So the Gemara says, me dummy, but that's not comparable. Because consider, if right now I'm running into a house, the house is on fire, and I'm taking the tefillin out, and you're telling me that now I have to stop in order to take the money out, so I may lose my tefillin. And I'll also add, you may lose your life as well. But hacha adahacha v'hachi lishdinan. But here, in the case where I'm running the tefillin bag over to the tefillin, so while I am bringing the tefillin bag over the tefillin, so I can just simply drop the money right there and then. I can empty it out while I'm running. I'm not necessarily going to have to lose any time over here if what I'm only picking up is the tefillin bag with the money and all it has is money, and I'm running it over to the tefillin. Oh, so just simply dump it from its money. So the Gemara says the cases are not comparable. So, this is a real effort that the Gemara is going through in terms of trying to compare the two cases. We went through first an argument by Rav Chisda. We went through three different versions of an argument of Rav Ashi in terms of how to see these cases as being somewhat comparable in order to understand how the Chachamim's position of flaying the entire animal can be based on our Mishnah here in Shabbos. And we're still struggling. And this is now going to be the final round. So Mar Rav Ashi says, let's go back to what we originally proposed. Let's go back to Rav Chisda's proposal. And that is that if I'm allowed to go ahead and save the tefillin, even though there's money inside, so too I can flay the animal. And the Gemara's original presentation of this, Rav Chisda's original reporting, is difficult. As the Gemara itself pointed out, you're comparing muksa to a malacha. So the Gemara says, now, why was it that it bothered you because flaying the animal is a malacha? So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Well, consider over here, I'm flaying the animal, but why am I flaying the animal? It's not because I want the hide. In fact, I don't want the hide. I want the hide out of the way. And so the only reason why I'm flaying it is because I want it out of the way. So what is this now? Now, this is going to be one of the more challenging parts of today's daf, because over here, we're somewhere between a malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa and a davar she'ena miskaven. Now, generally speaking, when we give examples of malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa, what does that mean? It means that I'm doing a malacha on Shabbos, but for a totally different goal. Not for the positive benefit, but simply because I want this out of the way. Right? The example we had regarding the moving of a mace on Shabbos. So there's a dead person in the house, human remains in the house, and I'm taking it from the house and moving it to Rosh Hashanah. That's a malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa. Because there, I'm not moving it from point A to point B because I want it to be in point B. I just simply don't want it here in point A. And we described that as a malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa. Similarly, over here, I'm flaying the animal, but not because I want the hide. It's because I want the hide out of the way. It sounds like what we're describing over here is a malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa. That is a simple way to present it. However, I do know what's coming up in the Gemara, and the Gemara is going to be treating it much more like a davar she'ena miskaven. In fact, you'll see Rashi's language in just a moment. That's a davar she'ena miskaven. So, admittedly, this is going to be a difficult point in today's daf, where the Gemara is basically knocking down the act from an Issa Daraisa to something which is mutter. So, again, it could be malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa, but I'm now going to move in describing it to a davar she'ena miskaven, because that's clearly the direction the Gemara is headed to. So, kegon delo kabay le la'or, I don't need the hide. And so, therefore, my removing of the hide is unintentional. And so, therefore, it is the davar she'ena miskaven. Now, the obvious question which the Gemara asks, v'habay v'rabi darmit havay moed rabi shema v'psik reisha v'lo yamus. So, the Gemara says, yeah, but isn't this an example of psik reisha? Meaning, I don't want the hide right now. So, and my intention is not to flay the animal. My intention is only to get the insides. And the flaying is only a secondary consequence, but the Gemara says, yeah, but it's inevitable, and this is psik reisha. And we know that Rabbi Shimon agrees by psik reisha. So the Gemara says, d'shako lei bebarze. So the Gemara says, yeah, but when you flay the animal, what you're doing is that you're flaying it into thin strips, and therefore, for sure, you're not going to be using the hide as you're flaying it into thin strips. Now, what's the easiest way to describe this? I say easiest, as if it's easy. But what's the easiest way to describe this? What it sounds like the Gemara is describing over here is that, yes, it's a psik reisha. Yes, it's inevitable that you're going to be flaying the animal. But it's not your intention. And even though it's a psik reisha, but it's something where it's lo nichale, meaning you're not going to be benefiting it from it because you're taking it down and breaking it down to thin strips. So it's a psik reisha, the lo nichale. And yes, we get back to the debate once again between the Rishonim in terms of psik reisha, the lo nichale. Is that mutter, is that usser? And the way we just presented the Gemara certainly sounds like a support for the position that a psik reisha de lo nichale would in fact be mutter. Anyway, let's just, if I can, without getting too involved in the issues of psik reisha de lo nichale, what the Gemara has now done is it's resurrected the argument of Rav Chisda. Meaning Rav Chisda said, I'm learning from the flaying of the animal, I'm learning it from the idea of salvaging the tefillin bag from the burning house. Now, how does it work? How does the comparison work? So let's understand the basic point of the argument. And that is that you could take the malacha out of the equation. You're not violating the isser of hafshata. Why not? Because it's either malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa, or it's a davar she'ena miskaven, and even though it's a psik reisha, but I'm flaying it into thin strips, which I'm not going to use. So basically, with all that stated, I remove the malacha out of the equation. And so now what I'm left with is that on Shabbos, what I can do, what I'm learning here now in our 16th perek is that you can go ahead and save the tefillin on Shabbos. So tefillin are really important. They have kedusha, and I can save the tefillin. And even though there's money in the bag, but nevertheless, the saving of the tefillin is paramount, certainly over the issue of muksa. So go ahead and salvage it. And so now what I'm going to take from that idea is that when something has kedusha, so then I can go a little bit beyond what the halacha allows, what would normally allow. So over here, the flaying of the animal, again, the flaying is not a malacha. Remove that from the equation. And now, should I be flaying it halfway or should I be flaying it all the way? So what the Chachamim say is that when something has kedusha, so I can go a little bit beyond what the halacha would normally be acceptable. And even though it's Shabbos, and even though the hides are muksa, but nevertheless continue flaying because it is something with Kedusha, and let's treat it with Kedusha. That's the basic argument that we're resurrecting within the Shita of Rav Chisda and how he understands how the two cases are comparable. Okay. Continuing now in the Gemara. So, when all said and done, I'm sorry, before we go on, just as a quick recap, flaying of the animal, the Karban Pesach, when Erev Pesach falls down to Shabbos, you shechted the animal, and now I'm removing the Imurim, flayed halfway, flayed full, all the way down, Machlok is Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim. Rabbi Shmuel says halfway, the Chachamim say, Mafshitin is Kulo, you flayed all the way. Rambam takes the side of the Chachamim, that is the Shitas HaRabim, so you flayed all the way. And then, what we spent a lot of time in the beginning of today's daf is going over the arguments of Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim, and there was a Mesorah that the Chachmei Yisrael had, that the Chachamim used our Mishnah here in Shabbos as a way of proving their position, and the Gemara really efforted in terms of trying to see how exactly our Mishnah is going to be a support for the Shitas of Chachamim. Okay, let's continue in the Gemara Lehecha Masilna. So now, where do you take it out to? So in the mission, we had a debate between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Tanakama says, Mavi she'enu mafulash, and the Tanakama says, E mavi yeh mafulash. Now, in Erevin, we're going to be discussing this all in much greater length and detail. For our purposes right now, we know that a mavui is an area where all the chatzeras, all the courtyards, are going to be filtering out into the mavui. It's basically a street. It's a version of a street. Not exactly the way our streets lay out. It's a little bit different. Anyway. So, and the Mavui is circumscribed by three walls. The Chatzeros have doorways that obviously go out into the Mavui. So they have three walls around it. Am I allowed to carry in the Mavui? Midoraisa, yes. Midorabana, no. The only way I can carry in the Mavui, Midorabanan, is only if the Mavui is corrected. It's amended. What do I have to do? So it's a machlokus amongst the Tanaim, exactly what I need to do. Now, that machlokas tanaim is critical in order to understand our Gemara over here. And as we go through the Gemara, we'll introduce ourselves to the various shitas of the tanaim. Hechidami mefulash, hechidami sheinu mefulash. So the Gemara says, what is mefulash, what is einu mefulash? Now, literally, the word mefulash means it goes all the way through. Einu mefulash means it does not go all the way through, it's a dead end. The classic way of understanding mefulash, einu mefulash, is that einu mefulash is that it has three walls around it. Mefulash is that it only has two walls facing one another, and you can go from one end, one open end, to the other open end. That's traditionally what it means. In our discussion over here, the Gemara is going to go with a somewhat non-traditional explanation. Amar Rav Chisda Shalosh Mechitzas Shoshnei Lechaim Zeu Mavui Sheinu Mefulash Gima Mechitzas Velechi Echad Zeu Mavui Mefulash V'Tarvai Oliba D'Rabbi Eliezer. So we'll start off with Rav Chisda's understanding of our Mishnah. And we're going to start off with first, everyone in our Mishnah is subscribing to Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, which is that in order to correct a mavui, you need to put not one lechi. Now, lechi is a vertical beam at the end of the mavui that opens up into the Rishus HaRabim. According to Rebbe Lazar, you don't put on one, but you put on two. And that is the only proper way to correct a mavui. Did not the Gemara quotes the Mishnah over here, Hashem Mavui, how do you correct a Mavui? Beit Shammai Aramim Lechi the Kora. Beit Shammai says you need a Lechi and a Kora. Lechi is a vertical pole. Kora is the horizontal beam going across. According to Beit Shammai, you need both. Beit Hillel Aramim O Lechi O Kora. Beit Hillel says either one, either a Lechi or a Kora. And Rabbi Eliezer Omer Shnei Lechayim. And Rabbi Eliezer says you need two Lechis. So right now we're assuming that the Shita of our Mishnah, both the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira say, subscribe to Shitas Rabbi Eliezer that you need two. Now, here's what the definitions are. Einu mefulash means that you have the two. Mefulash means you only have one. And then we have the debate in our Mishnah in terms of when I have the Sefer Torah that I removed from my house that was on fire, so I could take it to the Mavui. Does it have to be einu mefulash? That is the position of the Chachamim. That means to say that the Mavui is totally corrected, according to the Shita Rabbi Eliezer, whereas according to Ben Beseira, no, there's a certain allowance that's given, a dispensation. And that is that even though this Mavui only has one Lechi, and even though Rabbi Eliezer normally demands two, but for the purposes of saving the Sefer Torah, you can bring it onto the Mavui. This is how Rav Chisda is presenting the Machlokas of our Mishnah, to which the Gemara says, come on. Question number one. That's really going to be a proper definition of a mavui hamafulash. It's circumscribed by three walls. And on top of that, the fourth wall's got already one lechi there. Now, I know Rabbi Eliezer says that you need two. But do you think Rabbi Eliezer would use the language of mefulash to describe where it has three walls around it? And there's also a pole on the fourth side? That really stretches the definition of what is mefulash. That's number one. Va'ol rabbanan nasa l'socha ochlan amashkin. And then on top of that, let's also think about the sheet of the chachamim. So now I have a mavui, which has three walls around it, and it's got the two lechayayim. So what is that for Rabbi Eliezer? It's called a proper mavui. Now, the idea that you get from our Mishnah, the sense that you get from the Mishnah, is that we're going to give a special heter because it's a Sefer Torah, where now I could take it into this mavui, she'ena mefulash. If we're talking about where it is perfectly adjusted and perfectly corrected, so you can take out a Sefer Torah there, you can take out food over there, you can carry whatever you want over there. It doesn't sound like we're giving any kind of special heter for the Sefer Torah. So Elam Arabah, so the Gemara says, okay, so Rav Chisda's position, we explained in terms of his definition of mefulash and mefulash, now we get to Rabbah. Elam Arabah, shtei mechitzos v'shnei lechayim zeh mavi shein mefulash. Shtei mechitzos v'lechi echad zeh mavi ha-mefulash v'tavai aliba de Rav Yehuda. So according to Rabbah, we're talking about where this mavui only had two walls. The two walls were parallel to one another; they're facing one another. And then mavui mefulash. That's it. There is simply mavui mefulash is only when one of the openings has got a lechi, and an einu mefulash is where both of the openings have one lechi on each side of it. And our Mishnah is subscribing to the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rav Yehuda takes an interesting position in terms of what you need in order to have a corrected mavui. D'tanya, we learned in a brisa, yes, okay, I'm Rav Yehuda, mishyesh lo shnei batim, shnei tzidei rishos harabim. You have two houses in the tzidei rishos harabim. And osin lechem mikam v'lechem mikam v'korim mikam v'korim mikam v'nosim v'nosim v'emsa. So what you can do now, it's basically a thorough street where it has an opening on one side, an opening on the other side. And according to Rav Yehuda, if I put a lechi on one side, a lechi on the other side, or I put a car on one side and a car on the other side, so that will be enough in order to allow carrying within that area. Even though how many real walls does it have? Only two. How many halachic walls does it have? Another two. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's enough to be able to carry inside. Amar lo, they say to Rabbi Yehuda, Ein ma'arvin rishus rabin b'kach. No, the chachamim don't agree with Rabbi Yehuda. But again, as far as our Mishnah is concerned, so what Rabbah now is suggesting is our Mishnah subscribes to Rabbi Yehuda. And now here's our definitions of mefulash and mefulash. Mefulash is where there are two walls, only two walls. And in terms of mefulash, it's got a correction on one side. Ain't a mefulash, it's got a correction on both sides. Amalei Abai leditzcha namel l'rabbanan nasa l'socha ochlan mashkin. So Abai says to Rabbah, look, according to your definition, so let's consider. Our Mishnah is going according to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. If you ask Rabbi Yehuda the question, you have two walls facing one another. You have a lechi on one opening, you have a lechi on the other opening. So what is that according to Rabbi Yehuda? Perfectly legitimate. So if it's perfectly legitimate, why does our Mishnah sound like, ooh, you know, you could take a Sefer Torah into this area. What do you mean? You could take much more than a Sefer Torah into that area. You could take food into that area. You could take whatever you want into that area. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that is a perfectly corrected mavui. So I don't understand. What's then the heter of the Mishnah? Elam Ravashi is now we turn to the Amud Beis. And here we are now presenting the third way of understanding the words mefulash and einu mefulash. And Elam Ravashi, Shalosh mechitzos v'lechi echad, zeh mavui she'einu mefulash. Gimel mechitzos below lechi, zeh mavui ha-mefulash. So, as Rashi points out over here, Ravashi is assuming that our Mishnah is in fact subscribing to the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. In order to have a corrected Mavui, it has to have three walls, and on the opening to the Rishus Rabim, it's got to have two Lichayayin. So now, within that, here's our definitions of Mefulash and Eina Mefulash. With three walls and one Lechi, we're going to call that Eina Mefulash. With three walls and no Lechi, we're going to call that a Mefulash. Now again, these aren't the traditional explanations of mefulash and mefulash, but we're explaining it in the context of our Mishnah. V'yafilu Rabbi Eliezer dam Rabbi Inan lechayayim hani mila loch l'namashkin avala sefer Torah b'chad lechisagi. Now yes, we are subscribing to the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, and yes, according to Rabbi Eliezer, I need at the opening of the mavui two lechayayin, but that's in order to carry food or any item into there. But here, because it's a Sefer Torah, and because of the Kedusha Sefer Torah, and because of the Chachamim's interest in preserving the Kedusha Sefer Torah, so therefore an allowance is given, is that I could bring it into the Mavui while saving it and moving it from the burning house. I can move it into the Mavui, even though the Mavui has at the opening only one lechi. That is the heter that's given by the Chachamim according to the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Adkan, that takes us to the end of our first Mishnah in Gemara in today's daf. That covers the Amud Aleph of today's daf. So the quick recap. Our Mishnah has a debate between the Chachamim and Ben Becerra in terms of where could I take the Sefer Torah? I could take it out to a Mavui. Is that Mavui have to be an Eino Mefulash, or can the Mavui even be Mefulash? That's the Machlokas Tanayim. Now, when the Tanayim use the language of Eino Mefulash and Mefulash, what do they mean? So the Amoraim have three different opinions on that matter. Rav Chista, Rabba, and Rav Ashi. Let's now continue with the Mishnah. And Kuf Yizayin Amin Beis, Matzilim Mazim Gimel Se'udas, Harai La'adam La'adam, Harai La'behema, La'behema. House is on fire and we're salvaging. So the Chachamim capped the amount of food that can come out. The Chachamim said that you can take out food, but only 3 meals worth. Shabbos, we're going to be eating 3 meals. So you can take out 3 meals worth of food. Food for the humans, food for the animals as well. Ketzad, Nafla Deleka B'Leilei Shabbos. So let's say the fire broke out on Friday evening. So before you had even your first meal, Matzil Mazon Gimel Se'udos. So then you're going to take out enough food to feed you and your family for 3 meals. Friday night, Shabbos morning, and Shal Shudos. B'Shachris, now let's say the fire broke out on Shabbos morning. So you already had your Friday night meal, so Matzilin Mazon Beiz Se'udos. So now you take out enough food for 2 meals. And B'Mincha, the fire broke out in the afternoon, so Mazon Suda Acha. So you take out 1 meal's worth of food. Rabbi Yossi Omer La'olam Matzilin Mazon Shal Shudos Se'udos. Rabbi Yossi's Shita is that you take out 3 meals worth of food under all circumstances, regardless of when the fire broke out. It is a day dedicated to 3 meals, and the only issue over here is a concern of how much expenditure and effort you're putting in terms of taking out the food. Rav Yossi says you can always take out 3 foods. You don't have to figure out which part of Shabbos you're in. Now the Gemara says I don't understand what's happening over here. Now we already explained this. We already said over this Gemara outside, but now we get to read the Gemara inside. The Gemara says I don't understand what's the issue over here. You're taking food out of the house. You're taking it into your courtyard. Why is there a cap? Michti behetera katarach, not so tfei, why not save more food? Why are the Chachamim capping the amount of food that can be taken out? Am Rava mitoch sha'adna ba'ala mamono, isharis le'asa lichbuye. So Rava says that a person gets a little bit emotional over his money, and the more that he saves out of the house, the more he realizes he's going to be losing, and in the effort that he's putting in order to save the contents of his house, finally, he's going to lose himself, and he's going to say, why am I spending so much time trying to get the things out of the house? Why don't I just simply put out the fire? Now, taking things out of the house, that's mutter. Putting out the fires in Issa Daraisa, that we discussed in the beginning of the perek. It may be a malach hashen tzrich legufa, but let's just simply call it nice and simply, let's call it usher. You're not allowed to put out the fire. So, if the more effort he puts in, the more chance he's going to have that he's going to get emotional, he's going to forget about Shabbos, and he's going to put out the fire. The Chachamim understood that, and that's why the Chachamim put a cap on how much food he could take out of the house. Amalei Abaye Ela Hadatanya. So the Gemara says, okay, let's consider now the following brisa, which is Nishbar Lo Chavis Brosh Gagal. Let's say a barrel of wine was on the roof of his house, and it broke on Shabbos. Wine now is spilling out of the barrel, and he's losing money, he's losing the wine. Maybe Kli Maniach Tachteha. So what you could do is the following. You could take a Kli and put it on the floor where the stream of wine now is going to hit in order to collect the saving the spilling wine. Over vachelo yavi kli acher viyiklot kli acher viyitzrof. But what you cannot do is you cannot hold the kli in your hand in order to collect the wine. You can only put the kli on the ground and let it passively collect the wine, but you can't be holding the kli in your hand. So hasa maik zeri ika. The Gemara says, okay. So there as well, the Chachamim basically limit the amount you can do, what you can do in order to save the wine. Now, that's not a burning house. What's the Chachamim's concern? So, Achinamik, Zerisham Yavikli, Derech Rishos Arabim. So the Gemara says, no, the Chachamim have a concern there as well. Again, if your interest right now is just to save your assets, to save your property, in this case, saving your wine, and the Chachamim start allowing you to do a salvaging of the wine with no reservation whatsoever, so once again, you're going to lose yourself. You're going to lose the fact that it's Shabbos. You're going to be so bohol. You're going to be so confused. And what you're going to now do is, oh, I need another barrel, or I need another cup. So you're going to run through Rishus Rabbim and pick up a cup and take it through the Rishus Rabbim. And so there is also a concern that if one spends so much effort in terms of saving his money on Shabbos, he's going to end up violating Shabbos over there in the example of Hotsa'ah. Gufa, the Gemara says, okay, this idea of salvaging your wine, the Gemara says, let's spend a little more time discussing it. Nishvalo chavetz brosh kagol may be kli manich techtel bavashalo yavi kli acher v'yiklot. So we just repeat the brisa that we just said a couple of moments earlier in terms of being able to save the wine only by putting the kli on the ground and passively allowing it to collect the wine that's spilling out, but not to hold the kli in your hand. Nizdamin lo orchin may be kli acher v'kolet. Kli acher umitzareif. Now, if there happens to be that you have guests, so that means to say that there's more wine that you need, so then others now could bring cups in order to save. But the guests have to be there. Here's what you can't say. You can't say, well, you know, maybe I'll save a little bit more wine because maybe I'll have guests. So according to the Tanna Kamma, that's not the way it works. You first have to have the guests over, and then and only then can you save more wine. And according to the Tanna Kamma, don't do any kind of subterfuge. Don't play around with the halacha. You must first have the guests, then you can save more wine. Mishum Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Marim, and Rabbi Yosef says, no, you could do a harama. I mean, you could save more wine, and I need to save it for other people. You can invite people afterwards. So you could do this kind of harama according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Lema Bepilta, the Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Kamifli, the Tanya. The Gemara says, interesting. We have a debate over here as to whether or not you can use some sort of halachic loophole. This is the idea of harama. The Gemara says, where we discussed harama, principally, is a Gemara in Beitza in the following scenario. Oso vespenosha naflu labor, let's say you have an animal, anyantav, that fell into a pit. But not only the animal fell into the pit, but its offspring fell into the pit as well. Now this is yantav, that means you're allowed to shecht an animal, but in this case you can only shecht one of those two animals. The Isra of Oso vespeno tells me that I can only shecht one of the two, not both, on the same day. So we know that this yantav we're only shechting one of the two animals. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Maales Arishon Amenasa Shochto Vashini Osalo Parnasa Bim Kamo Vishvil Shelo Yamos. Rabbi Eliezer says, okay. So you're going to choose the animal that you want to shecht. You're pulling out of the pit, and the other animal you're going to leave in the pit, and you'll send food down into the pit on yantav in order to feed it. And Rabbi Yoshua Omer Maales Arishon Amenasa Shochto Veino Shochto. And Shita's Rabbi Yeshua is, you pull out the first animal. You tell everyone around, oh, that one interests me. I want to shecht that animal. You pull it out. And then upon further consideration, you say, you know what? I didn't want to shecht this one. Let's pull out the next one. You pull out the second animal. And now, you can shecht whichever animal you want, but now what you've done is you successfully got both animals out of the pit. And you've done so using a little bit of harama. Because you did the subterfuge that you used over here is that you weren't really thinking about shucking the first animal as you pulled it out. You just wanted a way of pulling both animals out of the pit. So the Gemara says, so you see over here between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, the debate is centered around whether or not there's any room for any kind of halachic subterfuge. Rabbi Yehoshua is comfortable. Again, limited. Well, this is a limited discussion over here. But Rabbi Yehoshua has at least some degree of comfort in using harama. And Rabbi Eliezer has no room for harama. And so the Gemara says is that maybe that issue over there in the Gemara Beitza is going to be reflective of our issue over here in terms of when the wine comes down and I don't have any guests yet, can I save more wine? Anticipating that I will have guests. And I'll just simply say, oh yeah, I'm going to invite guests. So, mimai. The Gemara says these two examples are not necessarily running parallel one to the other. Dilma ad kan lo kama Rabbi Eliezer hasam de'efshar par parnasa, aval hacha de lo efshar lo. Consider the following. that Rabbi Eliezer does not allow any kind of subterfuge in the case of the animals in the pit, because after I pull out the first animal, I don't have to pull out the second animal. I could feed that animal while it's still in the pit. It's going to be uncomfortable, true, but I could feed it while it's in the pit. On the other hand, with the wine that's coming out, if I don't save it using any kind of subterfuge, it's going to be lost forever. So that is one way to make a distinction between the cases. And the Gemara says, and look, Shitas Rabbi Yoshua, that allows you to take both animals out of the pit using a form of harama. Yeah, but if I leave an animal in the pit, that animal is going to be uncomfortable, and we have the consideration of Tsar Balei Chaim. One is not allowed to cause pain to the animal. And so therefore, harama is allowed in that case, but only to alleviate the pain of the animal. Masha'in came over here, when we're talking about wine, wine does not have feelings, and there's no Tsar Balei Chaim, and so the cases are not running parallel with one another. The Gemara just simply notes that the cases are not necessarily aligned. Tana Rabbanan, continuing now. Hitzol pas nekia, ein matzol pas hadra'a. Pas hadra'a, matzol pas nekia. The first point of the Brisa is as follows. Let's say you go into the house and you salvage really good bread, quality bread, and it's enough now for your meals for Shabbos. Don't go in there and get the inferior bread. However, if you went inside and got the inferior bread, that's the pas hadra'a, and now you're thinking to yourself, oh yeah, that's right, I have better bread, so you can go back inside in order to get the better quality bread from the burning house. Now let's say the house is on fire on Yom Kippur. Let's say that Yom Kippur is on a Friday. You now know, of course, that the next day is going to be Shabbos. So you can go into the house and salvage the food from the house in order so that you have meals for Shabbos. But what you cannot do is you cannot go ahead and save from Shabbos to Yom Kippur. Now the obvious issue is that you're saving from Shabbos to Yom Kippur. What eating are you going to be doing on Yom Kippur? And so it's a wonderful point. You could see Tosos Dibra Maskal Avalo Mishabbos Yom Kippurim, who discusses this very point. Let's take a look at it quickly. It's really great. So Perish Bekunshus the most of Yom Kippur. So he quotes Rashi, which I could have just showed you in Rashi directly. And Rashi says that you're saving the food on Shabbos. Or you're considering saving the food on Shabbos for Yom Kippur, for most of Yom Kippur, in other words, breakfast. V'im tomer pshita d'chol gamarhu. Now, you're not allowed to do this, as the Brisa and Tosfos says, I don't understand. It is a weekday. Motzei Yom Kippur is Sunday night. So you'd be now doing a malacha on Shabbos for a weekday? Of course you can't do that. So Tosfos over here says something really, really fantastic. So, umayshna mishabbos amotzei Shabbos, v'yeshlam de mitzvah l'echol b'motzei Yom Kippurim k'depirsh le'el. So Tosfos over here discusses the idea that eating Motzei Yom Kippur is not just simply a breakfast, it is a quasi-yuntiv meal. Tosfos doesn't use exactly that language, but it's very similar to that language. And therefore, the meal post-Yom Kippur is a quasi-yuntiv meal, and thereby you at least entertain the idea that the house is burning on Shabbos. You could save food for Yom Kippur, which that year is on a Sunday, for Motzei Yom Kippur, because it has a quasi-yuntiv status. Tosfos over there gives a couple of other answers in terms of understanding what exactly the havamina of the Gemara was. Anyway, let's go back to the Gemara. Let's finish up the daf. And it goes without saying that you cannot save food from the burning house from Shabbos if you're saving it for the next day, which happens to be yuntiv. And not from one Shabbos to the next Shabbos, it goes without saying. Tan Rabbanan, we learned another brisa. Shachach pas betanu bekidish olav hayom. You forgot the bread in the oven, and now Shabbos comes. Masilim azman shal shu'udos. So once again, now what you could do is you could salvage enough bread for three meals, but that's it. The rest of the bread that was left in the oven is left to burn. Ve'omer lacherim bo v'tzil alachem. However, what you can do is you can invite other people to go ahead and take bread from the oven. Again, each one can only take three meals worth. Ukishu ro de lo yirde b'mardel b'sakin. Now, when you're taking the bread off the oven, now the breads were placed flat on an oven. It was, you know, going back to the good old days where the bread was baked actually on the oven itself, on the walls of the oven. So don't take it off with a tool that's used for this kind of removal, but use a regular knife. Any of the Gemara says, now wait 1 second, I don't understand. V'hatan de be'er Rabbi Shmuel lo sasa kamalacha yatsa tiyashofer v'diyas apashi hi chachma ve'ina malacha. So the Gemara says, but what we're discussing over here is the removal of the bread from the oven. That's called Ridiyas Apas. That's not a malacha. The putting it on the oven, that's bishul, that's afiyah, that's a malacha. The removal from it is not a malacha. It is a chachma, but it's not considered a malacha. So the Gemara says, I know it's not a malacha, but kama de efshar l'shanuim shaninon. The Gemara says, yeah, but as long as you can do any kind of deviation, it is Shabbos, even though it's not a malacha per se, but you should still do some sort of deviation, at least to remind everybody that this that we're talking about on Shabbos itself. Okay, we're up to the Gemara of Lechem Mishnah. We're going to start tomorrow with the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah. And we're also going to be speaking tomorrow about Shal Shudas, an exciting daf coming up tomorrow morning. In the meantime, however, let's recap our daf today. Our daf today started with a Mishnah that taught us that from the burning house, one can save the tefillin. The tefillin is in the tefillin bag, and there's money inside of the tefillin bag, but still, the tilta muksa is going to be overlooked by virtue of the fact that you're saving the tefillin. The Mishnah says that you can take it out to a mavui that is ena mafulash, and according to Ben Becerra, even to a mavui a mafulash. Two issues that took up the majority of our morning. Number one is that the machlokus between Rabbi Shimon the Chachamim, that when Erev Pesach falls out on a Shabbos, and we shechted the Karban Pesach, and now we're flaying it in order to remove the imurim, how much do I flay? Do I go halfway, Rabbi Shmuel Shita, or do I go all the way, Shita's Chachamim? And they have a tradition that that machlokus is somehow grounded and rooted in our Mishnah. And the Gemara's first endeavor this morning was to explain how we see from our Mishnah how our Mishnah can present at least a proof to the position of the Chacham that you could flay all the way. And the Gemara spent a considerable amount of time trying to see that connection. The Gemara quoted Rav Chisda and Rav Ashi, three different versions of Rav Ashi, in terms of how to see the connection between the two cases. It is, at first, difficult to see. And even at second glance, it's difficult to see. It took us this morning four different glances in order to see any kind of connection. The Gemara then went on to the second issue, which is that when the Mishnah has a debate between the Tanakam and Ben Becerra in terms of taking the Sefer Torah into the Mavui that is Einu Mafulash according to the Chachamim, or even to a Mavui Mafulash according to Ben Becerra, what is the definition of Mavui Mafulash and Einu Mafulash in our Mishnah? And this is a three-way machlokus amongst the Amoraim, Rav Chisda, Rabba, and Rav Ashi. And in order to really appreciate and understand that, we needed a basic knowledge of what exactly corrects a Mavui, the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, two Lechayim, the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, which is the most makel, and that is, I don't even need three walls. Two walls with a lech on each side, and is our Mishnah going like Rabbi Eliezer, the Mishnah going like Rabbi Yehuda, so an involved discussion in terms of Mavui Mefulash and Einu Mefulash. And then finally, on the Amud Beis, we went through the Mishnah talking about the removing of food from a burning house on Shabbos, and the Chachamim understanding human psychology, and what would happen if we were just simply allowed to take all the contents out of the house, we're going to be tempted to put out the fire, so therefore a cap where you can only take out three meals. Machlokus in the Mishnah, whether or not it is, you have to take into consideration how many meals are left on Shabbos, that's the sheet of the Chachamim, whereas according to Rav Yossi, you could take out three meals under all circumstances. Why the cap? The Gemara says, Adam Balhul Al Mamono. A person gets crazy over his money. And the more that he's going to be saving his assets from the house, the more he's going to be tempted to put out the house on Shabbos, which is an Isser. The Gemara talked about a parallel case where the wine barrel broke on Shabbos. The wine is now flowing out. I can go ahead and save the wine. And a question of, if I have other people there, I could save more. Can I save more and then invite other people? Is harama allowed? The Mishnah in Beitza discusses a similar case of harama, machlokus between Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Eliezer, whether harama is allowed over there. The cases of harama there in the Gemara in Beitza and our Gemara over here, are they running parallel one to another? The Gemara discusses that case. And finally, a couple more details regarding what can be done on Shabbos in order to save food. If I save food, but I have better quality food in the house, can I save the better quality food? The answer was yes. Can I save from Yom Kippur to Shabbos? Yes. Can I save from Shabbos to Yom Kippur? The answer is no. Quickly, we discussed exactly what the issues are over there. And then if I forgot bread on the oven, can I remove the bread in the oven on Shabbos? The answer is yes, but only three meals worth. Others can also save. And we spoke briefly about Rediyas HaPas.